Number 326 will be our hymn of response. Go ahead, turn there and hold that ready to send the message. 326. In your Bibles, we'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6 and verse 8. Lengthy passage of scripture, but it's all within the same context, so we need to read all that it says about it here. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about baptisms and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we shall do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For ground that drinks the rain which often falls upon it and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Very important passage of scripture, and you notice that that last part there is connected with our Christian growth. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. Christian growth. Christian growth is not an option. Christian growth is an imperative. And we find that throughout the Word of God that we're either growing or we're falling away. There is no place where we can stop off and say, I have arrived. God has not called us to be like the world. He's called us to be like Jesus Christ. He's called upon us to be submissive to His will. He's called upon us to live the life that He has called us unto. And this is a lifelong pursuit. Unless, of course, you've already, quote, arrived. And I don't think anybody here has arrived. I haven't arrived yet. And I don't think you have arrived yet either. So it's a lifelong pursuit. It's a continuous action that must be taking place in each of our lives, no matter where we're at in our Christian life. Many think because grace did it all that they don't have to do anything. They believe that's the answer to all of it, that God just takes care of it all, and now that I've already been immersed into Christ, now it's time to retire and just wait for Jesus to come again, or for me to go and die and go to meet Him. Well, works will not produce salvation, that's true. You cannot work for our salvation. It doesn't work that way. But in salvation will produce works. Salvation will produce works. If there are no works, then there's not really any salvation, because you cannot be saved and not produce fruit from your life that is pleasing unto God. It's an impossibility. God has saved us with a purpose in mind that we will bring about good fruit in our life, that we will produce His work in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. Now notice. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, we should live there. That's what our life is to do. As the Holy Spirit comes into our life to live, as we relinquish our will to the will of the Holy Spirit then produces His fruit in our life. And if you look at your bulletin there, you find the foundation that is laid there, which is the very beginning of coming into Christ. And then there is a building upon that. And that building upon that is the Holy Spirit producing His fruit in our life. The problem today is the same as it was when Paul wrote to Titus. Titus 1:16, where he said, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Many today have just, like I said, just got out of that battery and feel like that's a retirement center, that's all there is to it. Brethren, we don't want to learn anything in this passage of Scripture, but across other passages throughout the Word of God, we learn that growth is imperative. It is imperative. There must be personal growth, personal service, and personal assurance as we look at this passage this morning. And that growth begins with milk. Now, in the end there, it begins with milk. That pure milk, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. What's he saying? Lay aside all those things of the flesh. That's no longer to be a part of your life. Lay them all aside. Yet like newborn babes, long for the pure milk. The pure milk, the unadulterated milk. The milk that comes from the Word of God, not that comes from the Word of man. Back in that day, they had milk that wasn't real good. And they made a lot of money on it. They had this substance that looked like milk, but had no nutritional value. And many times the shysters would sell that to them. What's the same in our spiritual life? Here he says that we are to seek and desire and long for that sincere milk of the Word. That sincere milk, that pure milk. Not that which has been diluted. Well, that's the foundation. That's the foundation. The foundation is faith, repentance, confession, baptism, resurrection, and judgment. All those things are milk of the Word. These are not meat, as many people think. This is the milk of the Word. And it is this milk that gets our attention. This is what gets our attention and opens our eyes to what God has to say. But it certainly does not stop there. It prepares us for greater things which are to come. And we can't continually be going back and relaying the foundation over and over and over again and just talk about these things. We've got to progress. We've got to go on to the rest of what God's Word says and the meatier part. And we have to have our body exercised, the spiritual body exercised, the mind exercised, feeding upon the milk, so that we'll be able later on to digest the food, the meat that God has for us. But you see, the problem is most professing Christians today are satisfied on this diet. They love just the faith, repentance, confession, baptism, resurrection, and judgment. They love just to recycle, you know, just keep going around the same circle. They love just laying again the same foundation over and over and over and over again. Why? Because they've already done this. Because they feel comfortable here. But don't tell us any of these things that God expects us to do anything. Don't go on to the meat. Let's just enjoy the milk. And we are to have that sincere milk. That's the foundation. That's true. But that's just the beginning point. That's just the beginning point. And there ought to be that desire in our life to begin with for that milk of the Word. That we might take it in. That we might grow so we might go on to greater things for Christ. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of babies and they got hungry. And you better have that milk around pretty handy. And you better warm it up pretty fast. Or you're going to have a baby that's really going to be out of sorts. I sure ain't seen them turn white and blue if you don't have that there in time. Well, that's the way we are to desire the milk of the Word of God. But it doesn't stop there. That desire then will bring about the growth in our life as we receive it, as we take it in, so we can go on to the meatier things that are in the Word. And that's why our exercise comes along. That's why we must exercise our faith. A faith that is not tried is not a true and genuine faith. And so we feed upon the milk to first of all to lay the foundation, but that's not where we stop. And too many people are comfortable just to stop right there and just rehash these things over and over and over again. Many confuse milk with meat today. Many think that is the meat. And that's not the meat, that is the milk. That is the milk. It is important, it is foundational, but it doesn't stop there. We are not called to continue building the foundation over and over and over again. That's not what he called us to do. He's called us then to produce a magnificent building upon that foundation that is laid. And not to our glory, but to the glory of God. Not to bring self-praise, but to bring glory unto God. We build upon the foundation of which that milk of the Word has produced in our life, just as you see in your bulletin there, the foundation. Then the building begins from there. Then we go on to much greater things for the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem today is many have been on milk so long, they're anemic, they're malnutrition, and they're dehydrated. And they have become anorexic. They don't want anything else. They just want to keep on feeding on the milk. They're comfortable there. All their needs are being met, and they've already done these things, and nothing much is required of them, and we like it here. It's warm, it's taken care of. But if a baby did that in real life, we'd be a little bit concerned, wouldn't we? If he didn't want to go past kindergarten, if he just wanted to keep his bottle all the time, rather than go on to have the food that's really going to nourish and bring him on up. But many church members today are like that. They want that milk so that they can stay there in that comfort zone, so that not too much is required out of them. And they have become anemic, they become malnutrition, they become dehydrated, they become stagnant. And when something becomes stagnant, it soon begins to die. Many have been in the church 20 to 40 years and never progressed beyond that point of the milk. Never progressing beyond the point of where they will be of real service unto God. Well, the growth begins with the milk. The Bible makes that very plain. But it doesn't stop there. That's what we need to see. And we are called to a greater growth. And we are called to build a superstructure upon that solid foundation. The foundation is the most important thing you can lay first. But that's not the end. You've got to go on from there. There must be Christian growth. There must be growth in our lives. A growth that must continue with meat and service. Meat and service. You see, a faith that must be tried. A faith that is not tried is not really a genuine, true faith. But faith must be tried, and as it's tried and it becomes stronger, then we take in more meat and more nourishment. And what we really need to do is bite off more than you can chew. Bite off more than you can chew, not just what you can comfortably digest, because only then will you find out that God will provide that which you don't have in order to digest and to take care of that. Bite off more than you can chew, not just what you can handle. Bite off more and grow. Grow with this meat and this service unto God. That's what Hebrews 5:11-6:3 there is all about. It's about getting off of the milk that you've been on, and not going back over the elementary things over and over and over and over again, but to go on to the weightier things. Here he is, just got through talking about Jesus Christ and him being after the order of Melchizedek, and he wanted to go on and tell him more, much more about that event. I wish he had. I'd love to be able to look at it and study it and look into it today. But notice what he says to them as he's talking about Christ and him after the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, having their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instructions about baptisms and laying on of hands, and of the resurrection, and of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we shall do if God permits. Nothing wrong with going back and looking over these things, but you don't go back and keep laying the foundation over and over again. He says, we must progress beyond that point, beyond these elementary things of Christ, and go on to some service unto God and to produce some fruit of the Spirit in our life that will bring honor and glory unto God. A faith that is neglected and taken for granted will not produce fruit worthy of the name whom we serve. It will not if it is neglected, if it's taken for granted. In the Christian life, you will use it or lose it. It's just like being an athlete out here, a runner, whatever it may be. If he has to stay in training, he'll either use it or he'll lose it. And the same thing is true in our spiritual life. You do not stay where you're at. You're either growing or you're falling back. And there is no place where you just stop off and say, this is where I get off. This is it. And I'm just going to wait till Jesus comes again. No, there must be that continuous growth in our life. Grow or die is a law of nature. Now some of us are growing, you know, quit growing this way, and we're still growing this way. I'm still having that problem. But where there's growth, there's life. So, you know, we can rejoice in that because there's life, even if we're growing this way instead of this way. But there's also the mental growth. There's the spiritual growth. And if we're not growing, then that means something's wrong. That means that we're beginning to die. We need to keep on keeping on. Either use it or lose it. Grow or die is a law of nature. The Hebrews had fallen into the trap here of stagnation. That's what their problem was. They had stagnated. You know why the Dead Sea is dead? Because it's stagnant, that's why. And many times in this generation, the church members today have done the same thing. They become stagnant. They become stagnant. When you become stagnant, you begin to die. We must keep on growing. These ones he's talking to here, as well as many today, who should be on the cutting edge, were really holding up the progress because they had to keep rehashing the same thing over and over and over again. Instead of standing on the promises, they were sitting on the premises. And we have much of that going on in our churches today. We need to stand on the promises of God. We need to grow. And we need to get into the meat of the Word. And we need to do some sacrifice and some service and these things which the Scriptures talk about being that which the meat will produce in our life. Yes, the Hebrews had fallen into stagnation. And that's what he's chiding them for here. That's what he's instructing them here about. At a time when he ought to be able to tell them the meat of the Word, they have need that the elementary things be taught to them again. When they ought to have been teachers of the Word, here they are, just wanting to hear the same old milk, the same old thing, time after time after time. We are to exercise our faith so we'll have a present power. A faith will only grow as it is used, as it is exercised. It's not something we just have in our head. It's something that's in our life. And it's something we are to continue on living. It's not just to be applied to our head. It's to be applied to our life. We're to live it out here before the world. And then whenever we exercise our faith, we will have the present power. God will be there with us and help us through. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We're to grow up. We're not to continue on in these elementary things, these foundational things. We are to go on to the meat of the Word. We come to know Christ by using what we know of Christ. I said we come to know Christ, not know about Christ, not know of Christ. We got a world full of people who know of Christ. I'm talking about really knowing Christ. I'm talking about a one-on-one relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can be in the church services every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and still be lost and go to hell if your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is not right. And that's what we're talking about here, to really come to know Christ by using those things which we know of Christ, those things which He has said, and making application of to our life. Not just knowing the Word, but letting the Word become incarnate, become an actual part of our everyday life. To know Christ and to know Him full well. That's what we're wanting to do. This imperative to grow to maturity is throughout the Word of God. Everywhere you read where it's supposed to grow. Grow unto maturity, and it's always an imperative. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. He says, grow. Grow in grace. Grow in knowledge, but keep on growing. And as you're growing, then you will not have to worry about all of these other things. Yes, it's an imperative to grow in grace and knowledge. To grow in grace and into knowledge. We are to exercise our faith. And we must continue to grow, continue to take in the meat and grow in all things pertaining to Jesus Christ. And lastly tonight, that's where verses 4 through 8 of Hebrews, which everybody's always interested in, notice within its context, it's talking about this matter of Christian growth and where they ought to be. And notice that this growth assures continued salvation. If there's that growth taking place in our life, then we can be assured of that continued salvation we have in Jesus Christ. And if there's not that growth, then there's great danger involved. Verses 4 through 8. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. For ground that drinks the rain which often falls upon it and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Now, brother, that passage right there has got to do with Christian growth. It's within the same context. That's why we read the whole thing. Because he's talking about Christian growth. You see the danger? Do you see the danger that's there? You cannot remain at the present level. You cannot become stagnant. You must continue to grow, and you must get into the meat of the Word. Otherwise, Satan's going to have an open door into our life. You cannot lay over and over again the foundation. We must move on. We must move on and build that superstructure to bring glory and honor to God in the Lord Jesus Christ through that foundation that is laid. It's true, the foundation must be right. But you can't keep rebuilding it. You've got to build upon it. And we are called upon to build upon a superstructure that's going to be beautiful unto God and bring honor and glory to Him. Yet we must move on. If not, there is the peril of apostasy. And that's what he's talking about here to the Hebrews. There is that peril of apostasy. It's always present. The ones who have become stagnant like these Hebrews, they'll do one of two things. One of two things will take place in that person's life. They'll either stay at the church and cause trouble and prevent everything from progressing, or they'll go right back out into the world again. One of those two things will happen, and I can show you it happening throughout all the churches around the land. That's one of those two things is going to happen when we become stagnant, when we are not growing in the way that the Lord would intend us to. We are saved to serve, we're told to tell. You know, I will not work my soul to save, for that my Lord has done, but I will work like any slave for love of God's dear Son. That's where the growth factor comes in. Helping us to be what God would have us to be and growing in what doing what He would have us to do. God has no halfway houses. You can't be half of the world and half with God. You cannot be half-hearted. You either walk with God or you walk with the world. You try to walk the middle, you get hit from both sides. And you're not pleasing to either God or man. Yes, God has no halfway house. You either go all the way with Him and you continue to grow, or you fall away. And the danger is always there when we are stagnant, when there's no growth in our life. If we are not continually growing toward maturity, Satan has an open door into our life. He has an open door. Again, looking at 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, great warning there for us. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And we say amen. The imperative is to grow in grace and in knowledge. To grow in grace and in knowledge. And when we're doing that, we are shutting the door right in old Satan's face. As we are looking at verses 4 through 8 of chapter 6, and look at it in its context of what we said in 5:11 on down, we know for sure that if we are not growing beyond milk to meat and action, then we know for sure that we are in danger, great danger, of falling away. What do we conclude from all this? Well, we conclude that Christian growth is an imperative. It's not an option. It's given as an imperative in the Word of God, and we better take it seriously, because if we're not growing, then we're falling away. We become stagnant, we begin to die. We must lay the right foundation, and we must desire the sincere milk of the Word. And contrary to popular belief, obedience to the gospel is milk. That's not meat. That's milk. That's just getting us into Christ. That's laying the proper foundation. And then we are to go on to much greater things for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow and as we exercise our faith, then we're ready to handle the meat. We're ready to handle the meat. Representative of milk is faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. That's representatives of milk. There's other things involved in the milk, but that's representative of it. Representatives of meat is tithing, teaching, sacrifice, and service. And those are just representatives of some of the things that the meat is going to bring about in the life of the Christian. We have many milk church members today, and they like that comfortable stage. They like that comfortable stage, and you just can't hardly buck them out of it, can you? You can't hardly take dynamite and blow them out of it. But I tell you what, if we do not go on and grow, as it tells us here, then we are in danger of apostasy. We're either growing or we're falling back. We cannot stand still. We must first of all receive that sincere milk of the Word and become a babe in Christ. That's when a lot happens whenever the Word produces faith in our life, and that faith then moves us to repent, to make our mind up that God, you're going to be number one in our life. And then the faith that moves us to confess that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The faith that moves us in to be immersed as God, to receive the promises of God as He has said, that He will forgive us of our past sins and give us the Holy Spirit to live in our life. That's milk. That's milk. That's merely getting into Christ. And brethren, there's a whole lot more to do from that point on. After that, we are to take in the meat, and we are to grow to maturity. And it's going to require sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. And it's going to be determined by how much we allow our will to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit produce the fruit and build that glorious house to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's up to each one of us. We must decide. The hymn writer this morning has said, wherever He leads, I'll go. Now, this is going to be a hymn of dedication this morning as well as a hymn of an invitation. If you're already in Christ, then grow, Christian, grow. Keep right on growing. Get into the meat and grow and service and doing those things which the Lord has called you to do. May it be a hymn of dedication that we will. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Whatever He wants me to do, I'll do it. If you're not in Christ, then it's an invitation to you to come in full obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins and turning your life over to Him, making that decision of mine that, yes, God, You're number one in my life. With Your help, I'm going to live for You. That's what it's all about, a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of direction in our life. And then to confess that name that we believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, confessing with our mouth what we believe in our heart, and then to be immersed, as the Bible tells us, for the remission of our sins, and we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then we have the power, we have the ability to grow, Christian, grow. What about you this morning? Are you growing in Christ? Have you come in primary obedience? And now are you building upon that solid foundation with the fruit of the Spirit? If not, then why not this morning?